Welcome to This is Whole Life, a podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. Join pastors Ken and Melanie and the communication team, Randy and Lucas, as we take a look back, a look deeper, and a peek into the week ahead. Here we explore meaningful conversations about spirituality, community, and living with purpose. Not having all the answers, but walking the journey together. Wherever you're listening from, you're welcome here. This is Whole Life. Hey everyone, it's episode 500. Not 400, but 500. And we do not have a live studio audience. That's just us. And we're shirtless and we have clapping ourselves on the back.
Not that much fun.
Anyway.
We're on the beach in Tahiti.
Yes.
Tahiti.
Yeah.
Wow.
I hear the waves in the background. That's not Lucas making the wave noise with his mouth. That's really waves.
Who can make a crackling fire on a beach fire, like a bonfire? We're going to, if you join the Slack channel today, you'll notice a few photos and other Easter eggs in there. Rudy the Rootinous Tootinous Rooster has joined us. Thank you, Cecilia and Clan, for naming him a couple of years ago. He's our mascot here at the podcast. There's a magic bag hanging out by Ken. There's snacks on the counter. And before we get started, this is Whole Life. We do this every week live from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. And we dig a little bit deeper into the message of the previous week. And this previous week was January the 3rd. It was Ken Wetmore. And we teased it last week. I don't know how much of it you caught or didn't or was paying attention. But greater things are happening because it started this past week. And if you were here, the church looks all different. It's in all kinds of shades of blue and light blue, dark blue. There's banners, there's boxes, there's lights, there's all kinds of cool stuff to just kind of make you remember when you walk in. What is it? Yeah, we're expecting greater things.
I have to say, I'm pretty proud of the Whole Life staff. Like, took down all the decorations from Christmas, put up the new decorations for our first Sabbath of the new year with the new theme launch. Great job, guys. I think I was just impressed with how quickly, efficiently. I got accused of being too gleeful about taking down Christmas decorations, but I like it because I know what I'm doing. Like the putting up part, I don't understand. No. I don't understand where the things go on the tree. I don't understand that. I don't know where the tree is supposed to stand, but I know where it goes.
That's right.
Like I know where that storage closet's at.
It's a lot easier going down than going up for some reason. Definitely. I had two people ask me, when did you guys transform the church? Like it was Christmas last week and all of a sudden, no, it's not. I was like, Friday.
Yep.
They're like, yesterday? And I'm like, yesterday. I said, when we actually, we were done by, 2 o'clock?
I think we had it done in 2 or 3 hours, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was, man, it was efficient. It was efficient. And it looks good. It looks good. And like, you know, and anything better than Christmas, but, you know, bah humbug. But we're over that now, right? We're past that. So I wanted to give you guys some context because someone asked me the other day, they're like, what's the big deal? 500 episodes. I don't get it. And I was like, okay, it's time for me to brush up on my research. So I asked ChatGPT exactly how many podcasts are there, how many are currently updating on a regular schedule, and how many have eclipsed 500 episodes?
Okay, that's a good question. I was actually just about to get my AI and ask that question.
Go ahead, because we might get a different answer. Because here's the thing. There is, again, like I mentioned last week, there's no public data on a lot of podcasts because there's a lot of things that go into it. Again, advertising. Nobody wants to tell how many their true download numbers are because it gives away trade secrets and they're negotiating with, you know, purple mattress to, you know, get X number of dollars per download in advertising dollars, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. So while the total number of the podcasts are in the millions, data on specific episode counts across all platforms, it's not centrally tracked anywhere. It's something the IAB, I believe, one day will do. That's the International Association of Broadcasters. And the IAB standards became a big thing a couple of years ago, and more platforms, including Captivate, which we are on, uses just to make sure that everyone's getting a fair shake. They know how many your your people know how many they're getting, and the people that are paying you for ad time know how many you're really getting. And so that makes it fair for anyone. So most podcasts have only a few episodes. An estimated 90% of podcasts stop after just 3 episodes.
Wow.
Only a tiny fraction of podcasts produce content consistently over a long period. One report found that only about 155,000 out of millions of podcasts were regularly updated at the time of their analysis.
Wow.
So other than a few notable long-running shows that they came, they gave me the Adam Carolla Show, Mike O'Mara Show, Survival Podcast, Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. So there's a couple, and I'm sure there's plenty more. So there's not a definitive number, but as of late 2025, there are approximately 345,000 to 487,000 active podcasts, which update new content, depending on how active is defined, represents a small fraction, roughly 8 to 11%. Only 8 to 11% of the total number of podcasts that have ever been created, which is over 4.5 million, actually update on a regular basis. So active just refers to 30, 60, 90 days. We're weekly here, obviously. September 25, roughly 487,000 podcasts published an episode in the last 90 days. Vast majority of podcasts do not maintain a consistent schedule. It's estimated that nearly 44% of all podcasts end after only 3 episodes.
Does that count as a podcast?
I don't know. They say it's a phenomenon known as pod fading. I'm like, pod nothing? I mean, I don't know. So I just wanted to kind of give you some idea of why 500 is a big deal, because we've joined like
8%.
We're in the top 11% of all podcasts.
So I looked this up. Mine said that less than 1%.
Wow.
Of all podcasts get to 500.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
Less than 1%. Because they're saying their numbers were similar to yours, saying that that there are what the active number of podcasts, right, that are actually regularly. But they said of those, really only I think less than somewhere between 20 and 40,000
wow.
have over 500. And if you think about it, like I think the top, the number one, they said it's hard to know which show actually has the most episodes, because a lot of radio shows have taken their radio shows and turned them into podcasts. But
and those are the dailies. That's wild.
Yeah.
The Ramsey Show has 5,000 plus episodes. Keith and the Girl has 3,700 plus. The Adam Carolla Show has 3,500. The Joe Rogan Experience has 2,400. So when you start thinking about that, we have 500.
Yeah, it's
compared
it's,
to some of those. That's, you know.
And, you know, and that some of those. I
mean, good
that,
work, Randy. That's what money, we're trying to say. Good
that's
work.
That's a money-making machine, if you think about it. And there's only one show that I listen to that on a regular basis that I know, and it is a Packer. It's called Pack a Day, a podcast. And I was just going to check and see, because I forgot to do it, how many episodes. But they do a daily show, and they've been doing it for 10 years, I think.
Wow.
It's crazy. And it's a great group of people. And I've met a couple of them online and been a guest on some of their podcasts. And I don't remember how many, but they have – it's a daily show. They do not miss 352 episodes a year. It's crazy.
Wow.
But that's real dedication. And we're only a seventh of that, so it's only partial dedication.
I'd say it's – I feel like it's quite a bit of dedication, my friend.
But anyway, super excited about that. So, Ken, do you want to – what do you want to do first? You want to read our responses? Do you want to kind of recap what you talked about this week?
You're the host.
Well, I know, but you're the boss, so I was
– I defer to the host.
He defers to the host. Let's talk about the message. Let's talk about what we talked about this week and why it's setting us up, because it felt like it was kind of a setup for what's coming.
Well, it's kind of fun, right? This 500th episode. So this is a big deal episode. And this year, 2026, is the 100-year anniversary of Whole Life. We were officially became a church in September of 1926.
Yep.
So we're celebrating that. We're celebrating that the 500th episode today. And so this year, our theme we've chosen was greater things. And we based it off of Jesus' words where he said that those who came after him would do even greater things than he had done. Mm-hmm. And it felt appropriate because I feel like, this podcast has done a lot of really great things over its 500 episodes. And I think over the last 100 years of Whole Life's existence, it's done really some amazing things. And so I think it's easy sometimes to bask in what was, back when I was a boy, that kind of thing, right? Yep. Thing I do with my kids where I tell them how much better people were at managing life, even though that really wasn't true, right? But we kind of sometimes can bask in what was and not feel like the future has, how can the future get better than what already has been, And yet Jesus, one of my favorite things Jesus says here is that you'll do greater things than I did, which seems somewhat mind-blowing since he was bringing people back from the dead and, miracles and all that and preaching parables, all that stuff. And he says, hey, when you come after me, don't worry, you'll do greater things. And so we kind of dug into that passage. What is that really talking about? What does that really mean? And really Jesus was talking not so much that people would perform greater miracles or how much better does it get raising somebody from the dead? I don't know. But Jesus was talking about the scope and reach that his ministry would have through those who came after him and sought to replicate his ministry. And so I think that one of the really beautiful things when you just think about it, there's a fair amount that's talked about some of the bad things that Christianity has done through history. And I think it's fair. Christianity has been responsible for some pretty horrendous things. And Christianity has been responsible for some really amazing things, a lot of amazing things. And if you are looking for a book in the new year to read, Tom Holland wrote a book called Dominion that I highly recommend. It's a great book. Tom is himself, I would say, probably agnostic somewhere in there. So he's not... he's not necessarily cheering for the home team, but he's written this. Is that not the right way to word it there?
No, that was funny.
Okay. Yeah. I was just making sure. I've always have to watch. I have what I want to say, and then there's what's appropriate too. So anyway, Tom writes this history about the Christian faith called Dominion. And near the end of the book, he really kind of makes the point that Christianity has done a lot of really good things for this world, that a lot of the things that people sometimes critique Christianity for today, Christianity has been responsible for.
Yeah.
The high value for human rights was just not something that was in the ancient world, the idea that human life had worth and that there was every person, that the arguments that we have today over human rights issues are really Christian arguments for human rights that in ancient times. And so it's kind of interesting sometimes when we see Christians actually arguing against some of the things that were foundational to who we are.
Yeah.
Point being, when you think about the greater things, truly, those who have come after Jesus have done greater things by spreading the message that he spread, by doing the works that he did. We might not be out on the corner performing these miraculous miracles where somebody suddenly who is blind just sees because we prayed over them, although that happens in places in the world that happens. But what we do see is we see hospitals that Christians have started. I talked about Advent Health. You think about how many people receive healing every day from just one Christian healthcare network, Advent Health. And then think about there's Catholic health care systems. There's all Baptist healthcare systems. There's a lot of other ones out there. And you just think about all the different ways that Christians bring healing into the world through medicine, through that practice, through how many people give charitably, how many churches provide food to those in need, how many churches provide clothing, a lot. Do we do it perfectly? No, we don't. But the world is a better place, and we are doing so much in Christ's name. And I really truly believe that we are doing even greater things than Christ did while he was here, in that extent that of the reach that we have today And so my encouragement for our church is we think about the future of this church. It's not a competition to be better than the last 100 years, but it's a desire to build on what has been left to us, the legacy, the ideas, the beauty that's been there. And so that's really what this year is really about, is celebrating that legacy that we have, all the good things that Whole Life has done in the Orlando community around the world. And then also saying, hey, but God's not done with us.
Not done.
There's even greater things to be done. And it does, and it doesn't diminish the past. It actually enhances the past. The works, when God's people do good things in Christ's name, it enhances Christ's reputation, not detracts from it or make him less. And that's the beauty. There's several quotes I was told that I probably need to explain who a couple of the quotes came from. I didn't really say who Thomas Aquinas was, but he was a fairly well-known ancient theologian in the early Christian church. And Martin Luther, the great reformer from the Middle Ages. So anyway, include a couple quotes there that if you had the chance to watch the sermons, go watch that. I really like Thomas Aquinas's quote that we use there.
There was a ton of people that I talked to after first service. I got caught up in second service with speaking to someone that I never met for the first time, or I had just met for the first time, I'd never met prior. And Danielle, if you're listening, I've been praying for you and hope you will be back this next week. That would be pretty cool. And give Baron a hug from me if you're listening. And speaking of listening, we asked you last week, how have you seen overflow affect your life this past year in 2025? And like, what gives you hope that there might be greater things ahead? And a few of you responded to the challenge, and I'm a little surprised because a couple more were like, oh man, I can't wait to send mine in. I've got a good one, and I haven't heard from you yet. So I'm thinking that because I'll only give you a week notice, maybe I'll give you one more just because,
that seems fair.
Because I really like you guys, and you're pretty awesome. So I want to get to the first one. This is from Anonymous. So Anonymous, if you are listening, if you would like your charger, I would love to give it to you, but I don't know who you are.
So your charger?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Our giveaway. Right. So if you'd like that, if you'd like that fancy charger for the back of your phone, please let me know who you are. You can send it through the same text. Just if you'd like me to leave it in an undisclosed location in the church that only you can find it, that's also fine. Like if you want to be totally anonymous,
that's kind of a cool thing. I like that idea. That sounds fun.
Leave it outside the rock by the south door. Okay.
Come
alone, come after five. No, I'm totally cool with that. I can even leave it in the church office, and I can leave it in the workroom. There's a little bin there, and I could leave it for you, and I can leave it addressed for Anonymous. So anyway, Anonymous said, I'm sending an anonymous text message in lieu of a voicemail. There was such an abundance of overflow in our church in 2025. I made it my personal responsibility to greet unfamiliar faces and make connections. I made personally my responsibility to greet familiar faces and maintain connections. Oh, I think we did that twice. There wasn't a stranger in the church the whole year. From job partnership, family promise, connected, barn party, pathfinders, and adventurers, there's been an abundance of overflow. There is a brown paper bag in the office. Okay, this is really working out well, Anonymous. So he's giving me – okay, that's the magic bag. So – now I know who you are. So, never mind. I won't tell anyone else who you are, but if you still like me to leave it in an undisclosed location.
Hey, he told me he was writing anonymously. I said, well, then you probably shouldn't have drawn your picture on the bag.
Oh, man. Okay.
So there's a bearded man with glasses.
There's a brown paper bag in the office, a 500-episode gift to the podcasters. On a previous episode, it was mentioned that some persons don't have a toothbrush in-house but were there for extended hours. I have found that psychologically brushing your teeth is a good mindset between meetings, tough conversations, long phone calls, etc. There's also a bag of socks for someone's 51st birthday that happens to fall on this day as well. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Who's 51?
This one.
Today's your birthday?
Well, for those who are listening.
It's tomorrow?
It will be tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. I was like, dang, bro.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Is it charcoal infused toothbrushes?
I've never used one of those before.
That's awesome.
Does it
It's supposed to whiten your teeth. The charcoal whitens your teeth.
Oh, yeah. So it doesn't give you the hillbilly look?
No, it's a disinfectant also.
Why did you look at me when you said that?
Why are you feeling sensitive about that, Melanie?
Oh, man. Should we put that in the Slack? No, we better not. That's probably not appropriate.
Oh, hang on. Uh-oh. We got one more thing here.
Insta-bright. Ultra-bright.
Oh. Ultra-bright advanced whitening.
So this is, he said, I've nice. Found psychologically brushing your teeth is a good mind reset between meetings, tough conversations, long phone calls, etc. All right. Wow. And socks for your birthday.
Anonymous. I love them. Yes. So I have a pair of Pop-Tart socks. I have a pair of Kellogg's Frosted Flake socks.
Oh, come on.
I have a pair of Mountain Dew socks. And now I have a pair of Pepsi socks.
That's
awesome.
Those
that Mountain
so cool.
Dew is legit because that's the original
Mount Rushmore.
Logo.
Yeah,
so I think that, I think people ought to vote on the Slack channel for which pair I wear this week.
Mm. All right. So let's get pictures of those and we'll put them in the Slack channel before that. And just because this person is awesome. The first one was sent. The first
or a person. If you tell me which pair you want me to wear this week, I'll wear them. Yes.
The first text message was sent with confetti, and the second one said "Happy 500th episode," and that was sent with fireworks. So also just know that they have some style. You know?
Nice.
And so they also included a guide for us for brushing our teeth.
Oh.
This kind of looks like it comes from maybe Gemini. What are the emotional benefits of brushing your teeth? And it says the act of brushing and flossing goes beyond just removing plaque and bacteria. It, and now this is all like, you would see your answer highlighted in Gemini. It fosters a sense of calm, builds self-confidence, and helps manage stress. Wow. By keeping your teeth clean, you not only invest in your physical appearance, but also in your psychological well-being. Well, thank you for thinking of us who drink coffee and stain our teeth and eat donuts and need to get those out of our teeth. And also strawberry pistachio truffle bites.
I'm just excited to try out a charcoal toothbrush. I have never heard of that before. This is
great.
Brand new to me. So,
all right, here we go. Next one is an email, and this is... Yeah, here's looking at you, buddy. Congratulations on the 500th podcast episode. I'm sorry for not writing more within the last 6 months, but I want you all to know that I listen to the message every Sabbath and the podcast every Wednesday. Sabbath and Wednesdays, my two favorite days of the week.
Hey.
Thanks to each of you, the rest of the Whole Life Church staff, and the entire Whole Life Church family for showing up and doing everything that you do, especially the podcast episodes. I don't know where I would be without them. Here's to 500 more episodes and most certainly 500 more greater things. Signed, Carolina Dave.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Carolina Dave.
I know, right? It's been a long time. Good to hear from you, my friend. Good to hear from you. All right, which one are we going to say? Well, this is the answer to the question that's upcoming that we had from the message. All right. Hi, Whole Life Podcast. As you read this, it's obviously too late, is it? It will be episode 500 already. But nonetheless, I wanted to clarify what I meant by top listeners inspired.
Hi,
Mariana. How you doing, Mariana? I definitely do not want nor need you all to be talking about me for a full episode.
Let's do it anyway. I think it's fun.
Good heavens. God knows I'm not that interesting. And even if I were, we all know this podcast is about Jesus, not me. What I meant was advertising where the podcast would be so the top listeners could participate and perhaps live as you've done in the past.
Uh-oh.
I always enjoyed listening live to the podcast and even participating. But to answer your question, God had overflowed into my life in 2025 in so many ways that it would take the whole hour just to get started. But some of the highlights include my family and I are all healthy. I changed jobs in 2025, and I'm now working at AHU while studying for my master's degree as a nurse practitioner.
Nice.
God has opened a lot of doors for my clinical hours, which at one point seemed like an impossible task to achieve. And my oldest daughter graduated with her bachelor's in health science and was accepted into a very competitive residency program at Advent Health. Good job, Gabby. These are just a few of the many blessings God has poured into our lives, and I can't wait to see what great things he will do in 2026. And again, thank you all for your work, as it doesn't go unnoticed. Happy 2026, your top fan, Mariana.
Yay.
So, guys, hit me up with how you would like to, and if you're just going to be at church this week, go ahead and just come on up to the second floor or find me around, and we'll make sure you get your little gift. for participating. And I know that we had, and for those of you who said you were going to send, please do, because there was a handful of you that I was really excited about. I mean, I'm excited to read everybody's, but I was excited to hear what you had to say and how God overflowed in your life and take advantage, because my contact in Hong Kong, where we got these, said, I've got 10 more ready to go for you if you'd like to place an order. And we can get in there quickly, so you wouldn't even have to really wait that long to get them. So do send it in this week. Lucas, we had a couple of questions, right?
I got two here.
Got two?
Yes.
All right.
So the first one was from Matthew. Shouldn't quality be the driving force of ministry rather than numbers? Numbers feel more like a business metric. And when emphasized too heavily, they risk feeding ego rather than faith. When I look at Jesus' ministry, I see him prioritizing intentional, relational time with those around him whenever he went. He focused on depth, not scale. So this raises an important question for me. Is being a quality church eventually treated as an afterthought because numerical growth is what's valued most? Will people be reduced to statistics? Will members become numbers rather than individuals known, discipled, and cared for? That tension is something I'm genuinely trying to understand.
Well, I mean, I think the way we talked about numbers last week on the show was listenership. We talked about how many, you know, people listen to the podcast, how many people tune in to the best of our knowledge online, and how many people, you know, show up every week. And I don't think that's the focus in any way. It's really for us to gauge, you know, are there times when things are ebbing and flowing, and what might be the cause of those? Or are we not doing a good job of presenting Jesus in a way that makes sense to someone who might invite a friend for the first time? And, is it not enough that someone who's been here for a long time still gets fed spiritually? I mean, I think there's a lot of questions that go into how we do that.
You know, I answered this question during second service, and that's why I was a little quiet, just because I'd already answered it during second service. And then Dale quoted something from my sermon that was like seven words, like one sentence or something. So
okay.
I challenge you, Randy, to go find the one sentence that Dale quoted. Just him saying it. You can have him put Dale's voice in here, and that'll be the answer to the question, because it was concise and it was to the point.
End of second?
I think for me, I would want to emphasize, for me, it's not about a quantity being like, oh, it's like all the numbers are the only thing that matters. And yet reach does matter. Matter, being able to impact more people in better ways is a good thing. And so that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to keep our excellence. We're trying to make sure that we still care about every single person individually, while at the same time understanding that we're going to grow. And in that process, you kind of have to get to a place where you scale things a little bit. Mm. But I do think that Whole Life has something special that's worth scaling. And so that's one of the things that we're working on right now.
I think it's important to think about what it is that we're trying to scale, because this is not, it's not about getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger because we want to be bigger. Like that's some kind of measure of success. I think what it is for me is the number of people that have come to us or that join us online that say, I wish I had Whole Life here. I wish I had Whole Life where I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people that drive for, you know, 90 minutes to get here on a Saturday morning, like there's a reason that people are showing up here. And it's not just because, you know, we have, you know, progressive music or we have, you know, cool lights or there's something that is really intrinsically special about Whole Life and our values and the way that we live into this community that we have. And it's attractive to people and people are drawn to it. And what is really, really sad to me is that people don't have that always where they live.
Yeah.
And so this is not about us saying we're so cool, we need to just get bigger and bigger and bigger. This is about us hearing that need coming from people and the desires of their hearts and trying to figure out, all right, how can we reach out further and further and further for those people who need a Whole Life in their lives? Another thing that I think is important for us to remember is, you know, as we grow and we are growing, We're not in the business of trying to go out and, you know, grab people from the highways and byways. There's something special happening here that people are drawn to. And I think also, though, you know, we had almost 1,100 people at church this past week. And we're having trouble finding places for people to sit. And I feel so bad sometimes because I have to say, well, there's the overflow or there's the worship cafe. You know, you can sit in there. And, you know, people line up on the back walls because they want to be a part of what's happening. But as we have more and more people, if we want to maintain that intimate connection, if we want to maintain that quality and relationality, that means that the members of our congregation are going to have to create that. Yeah. And, you know, Matthew, I know that Matthew's one of our online hosts. And so I know that that's important to him as well, to be able to have that relationality, which is why he, you know, wants to be in that role. But I think that a lot of people are going to have to step up and maintain that relationality, because that's obviously that's not something that, you know, 13 staff members can accomplish for 1,200 people on any given weekend. But that's what being a community is about. And that's what having the values and the mission and the vision, you know, be part of who you are and how you engage with the church, how you engage with other people. That's how the quality is maintained. Yeah. That's how the relationality is maintained. So it's on all of us to do this.
And I think what people don't also remember or maybe think about is that what's good enough for God? Andy, this was probably 3 years before he retired. It might have been a series or just a single message, but I've never forgotten it, because there was some project going on and there was talk about, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't spend so much money doing X, Y, or Z. And Andy was like, well, here at the hospital church, I think we were still hospital church at that time, and I could be wrong, but either way, at this church, we want to do everything we can with as much excellence as we can, because not only is God worthy of it, but he said, you know, look through the Bible and see all the things that were done in God for God and by his request. And he required excellence. He wanted things for a certain reason. And he's like, when you put someone in charge of something, they have a talent. They have some excellence that they want to share. You look at, I mean, not just staff, but look at volunteers that come and smile for how many hours behind the coffee bar, making coffee and, you know, moving stuff around. You have people that are greeting with a smile on their face the whole morning. You have people milling around, talking to people and engaging and listening. And it's all intentional. So I think the part that seems cold, or maybe it's calculated. Well, if we do X, Y, and Z, we'll get these results, which can seem formulaic, and it can seem, I don't know if I really want that to feel, it doesn't really feel like warm and fuzzy. It doesn't feel like the
organic
that, yeah, mm-hmm. like it's just happening, but you have to start somewhere and decide what your goals are. And then how are you going to achieve those goals? Something that we do every year here as, you know, as staff and for
church
those
board.
Of us, yeah, church board, everybody, like if I report to Ken. So Ken asks me, hey, what are your goals for this year? What are your department goals? How are you going to hit them? You know, what does it look like? What, you know, can you handle those? And we do each thing with the thought of we can do this and we can do this really, really well. We can be exceptional. And hopefully we get really close to all those goals and we do a great job and we learn if we make a mistake. Because like he said before, Christianity, we do everything perfect? No, but that's our intent. And I think that intent can get confused for just being kind of cold and just a formula that we use.
But it always comes down to the why. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It always comes down to the why. Why do we plan ahead? Why do we think through things? Why do we? And the reason is because we want to introduce people to Jesus.
Yeah.
We want people, we want to tear down walls, and we want to create an environment and a place where people can encounter Jesus and have their whole life be changed in positive ways and grow. And so that's why we do what we do. It's the reason why we try to plan ahead. It's the reason why we think ahead. I have, I had a professor in college. He was a theology professor who, he he kind of was chiding somebody. I think somebody in class had said something about, well, they'd waited till the last minute so that the Holy Spirit could do his work and speak in the Holy Spirit. And he said, so, and the professor said something like, well, why can't the Holy Spirit speak to you on Tuesday? Mm-hmm. Why do you have to wait till right now? He said, you know, and so that's part of what our process is here. We say we want the Holy Spirit. We want God to work. We don't want to be doing this on our own. This needs to be God's work. And so we go in and ask God, as we plan, please help us to plan the way you want us to be planning. And I can tell you so many times we've had a plan and we've changed it because at the last minute we were like, you know, this isn't the right thing for right now. We need to do this differently. We need to add this, take out this. But we had a plan going into it because we believe God deserves our best, not our just not sloppy work. You know, all of us want the people who work for us to put planning and time and effort into the things that they do. If you have somebody building your house, you don't want them to show up and be like, well, I've got an idea of how foundations work. Let's pour some concrete and see what happens.
I think that's how they built my house.
Yeah, well.
Sorry, go ahead. Well, tangent.
You may be correct. So,
have you ever seen The Money Pit?
Sorry, Ken. Carry on.
So, but the point is, planning ahead is important. What I hear in the question is, and I think it's an important one. Do we get so big that we forget about people? Do we get so big that the size is what's most important as opposed to really connecting people with Jesus and each other? And if that's where we get, then we need to back up and try again.
Yeah. Yep.
Because this church has to always remember that first and foremost, it's about connecting people with God. And right after that, it's about loving your neighbor. Yeah. And that's what this is about. And I happen to think that you don't have to be a small church to do that. I think you can do it in large churches. I think that large churches actually probably have a little bit more of a challenge because it's easier to show up and get lost in the crowd and not be engaged because there's in a small church, you know, if you've ever been the first, one of the first churches I pastored full time, when I showed up there, we had about 25 people, 30 people showing up for services on Saturday. You knew who was there.
Yeah, you don't miss
it. And when somebody new walked in, you knew they were new. You knew who they were. You knew what was going on. That's a new person. Oh, and so one of the advantages I think that small churches do have is like, you know who's new. You know who's there. There's also some things that can be challenging about only having a small church. It is challenging when you have 20 to 30 people showing up to have programs for kids. And so you have a teacher that shows up ready to do a kids program and there's no kids there. And so they show up the next week and there's no kids there, and they show up the next week and there's no kids there. And so by week 4 or 5, 6, whatever, they show up and finally a kid shows up, one kid. And are they ready? Or are they like, oh wow, after 5 weeks, I wasn't expecting that. And then when you have one kid in a Sabbath school class, trust me, I remember being at the church. One of the frustrations that I had was that they had great people, wonderful place. And we would have families show up to the church and then they would just keep going. They'd be like, oh, you guys are friendly, you're nice, but there's no real programs for my kids. So I'm going to head out. I'm like, well, if enough of you guys stay, we'll be able to do this together.
Yeah.
But in a large church like Whole Life, we are blessed to be able to have programming for kids. We'll be able to do that. And the weakness that can show up is that you walk in here and you know the people that you know. You have connections. You've got friends. And so you make those connections on Sabbath. You say hello to the people you know. And you walk out the doors and there was somebody who walked in who knew nobody. Mm. And nobody said anything to them because they just assumed this person, they probably know somebody here, or let them say hello to somebody. And so, you know, that's one of the things I appreciated about our anonymous. I know who it is, so I'm tempted just to use a name. But anonymous is very good about going up to people and just saying, hi,
yeah.
My name is, who are you? I don't know if I've met you before. And I would love to be a whole life church of people who did that. If you don't recognize somebody, you don't have to become their best friend, but just say, hey, how you doing today? My name's Ken. I don't know if I've met you before. Tell me a little bit about you. Where are you from? Is this your first time here? Oh, it is your first time here. Do you know where everything's at? Do you need help finding anything? Do you need somebody to sit next to you during church? Those are the things that make people, when they walk into a church, it's the difference between going, it's the difference between going to a concert that you like are entertained at and going to be with your family.
Yeah.
And so that's the environment that I hope we have, that we work towards, and that I encourage all of you who are part of the Whole Life family to really embrace. It can be uncomfortable. Trust me, I understand it more than most of you would probably even guess. I am not a naturally extroverted person. It is not in my nature just to walk up to people and say hello. But it is one of the things I've trained myself to do, because I do like people. I am curious about you. And so I find the parts of things that work for me. I love, tell me where you're from. What are you all about? Where did you go to church before here? What did you like about that church? Well, you know, tell me about you. What's your favorite? You've lived in Orlando your whole life. You like food. I do too. What's your favorite place to eat at? Oh, I've eaten there. What's your next place? Oh, I haven't eaten there. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So there's just lots of different ways for us to be engaged, but I really hear what Matthew's asking, because I think it is a danger for growth, is that you become so focused on the growth that you forget the why that was behind that growth. And hopefully that is not what's going to be happening, what is happening here at Whole Life. And I've got to tell you, this Sabbath was stunning to me. And I say that because last year we had just slightly over 800 people in attendance between two services at our 2025 first Sabbath of the year. So we ordered 800 t-shirts this year, right, Randy? We ordered 800 t-shirts, and I thought, you know, we'll have some leftovers because we count babies too towards that 800. So we'll have leftovers. And this year we had 1,100 people at church on this Sabbath. We had close to 300 in first service, and that would mean we had about 800-ish.
Yeah.
Just,
right in that area. just under 800.
So we're under 1,100 people here at church. That's a lot of growth. And that is something that concerns me. When you grow that quick, when you're growing that quick, can you keep the things that make you who you are? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why we're doing the series that we're doing right now. We're talking about greater things, but this greater things series, we had the first sermon that explained what greater things is all about. And next Sabbath, we're going to be talking about the mission statement of this church, because it's important while we're growing that all the people that are coming in understand
the
secret sauce, what's going on here. This is the recipe. This is what if you want to be a part of this, this is what we're about, and this is what we need from you to make sure that we stay who we know God's called us to be, a church without walls, loving people into whole life with God. And then after that sermon, we're going to do a sermon on our values, because you are your values. Whatever you value, sometimes they're the values that we recognize, that we're like, oh, that is one of my values. And then there's I call them blind spot values, the ones that you don't know are a value, but they are. And everybody around you kind of knows that they are. You know, for some people, it might be that they have a value of privacy. And they don't really realize that. They know that they don't like sharing information, or, you know, and then there's the people like me that, as my wife jokes, I
overshare.
Overshare. There we go. Yep. There it is. So, but the point is, you are your values. So we're going to be talking about the values that Whole Life Church has. We're going to talk about why they're important, how we live them out, and what that means. So that's coming up. We're going to be doing a sermon on what it means to grow in Jesus at Whole Life, because that is that is our purpose for being here. We want you to grow in a relationship with Jesus. We want you to be thinking, what is my next step with Jesus? And we want you to not depend on other people to tell you what your next step is. We want you to be asking Jesus, hey, what is it that you want from me next? What can I do to grow? And then after that, we'll finish off by talking about the vision that we have for this church. And when I say we, this is a vision that was created by a large group of people in the end came together and created this. It isn't something that just the staff at Whole Life put together, or even just the board at Whole Life put together, but it's a large group of people that came together worked on this, brought it before our whole church. The church voted on this, and this is our vision for the next 20 years or 10 years, pardon me. We're calling it Amplify 2036. And so for the next 10 years, we are looking to amplify the message that this church has in this world. And so super excited to be talking about those things over the next month. And the reason why we are talking about this is because I don't want to see us lose focus of what's important and what really matters.
I really like this because it highlights this responsibility that we need to have as individuals, which is cultivating the quality work. But it's also a reminder that we as a group, we represent the body of Christ, and all the efforts that we all have together will eventually put us in a position to do greater things.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing, I mean, this morning, Lucas and I were on a call with someone who's creating a small community here at the church. And one of the things that they said was, I know people and I attend church. Mm-hmm. I even attend a class, and but I still haven't, you know, I've been to church retreat, but like I haven't found my tribe yet. So the small community is a way that I'm going to, that we're going to build this tribe together of people that have, you know, this interest that we all share than the small community. And that, to me, that's the antithesis of what, you know, the question is, how do you not let being so big create this disconnect? It's because people are being intentional about what they're doing, and they're taking and saying, okay, it's really hard. We understand we're part of a large church. We love the message. We love the music. All those things. We love being here, but we also want to create a group of people that we can all share life together in this certain area that we all find together to be satisfying, or, you know, we enjoy it. It's our pastime. It's our hobby. It's whatever. And so that's people just taking account and saying, man, if I want this and I want my church, I want other people to find this, then if this is my gift, then let's do it. Let's lead this thing out and let's get it done. And I think that's part of each one of us having, you know, the talents and the things to be excellent. Like we talked about earlier, use what you have to make things better. And who knows, you know, you could be the next best small community at Whole Life, which I'm about to start one coming up. So watch out,
people. Are you really?
Yep.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have any kind of name or anything, because it seems kind of cheesy every time you come up with a name. It's like
Brandy and the Cool People.
It's also hard to know what to,
the group with no name.
Those who shall not be named.
Yeah. What?
That's their new name. Those Who Shall Not Be Named. Randy's group.
That's it. Oh, I like that. And I know there's a couple of you guys that are going to join the group that are listening. So, my motorcycle has been in need of repair. It's about done. And so as soon as we get that back, it is, we're going to be doing some motorcycle riding.
I take it back. Vroom, vroom.
Yeah, vroom, vroom. Well, if I took it from Emily, it could be the Whole Life vroom vrooms. Cause
I like it.
What if one only has a bicycle?
We have toe straps.
Toe straps.
We put you in the back though. We put you in the, you're tied to the last person.
Gotcha. Okay.
And you know, so
watch the corner.
You get outside the white line, you're on your own. Because the cable will snap.
What about the people on unicycles? What about us?
Well, I'm sure there's a club for you guys somewhere. No, we're gonna do once a month, we're gonna do rides to certain places. I've got about 10 of them that I really like, and when people come to visit, I take them and they're like, oh, I love Florida. And I want to move here. And so we're going to do that. And then we're probably going to look for at least once a quarter. We're going to try to find, I'll probably work with Anderlene and find a service project that we can all do together. And maybe we'll even hit Lucas up for some cool shirts.
Oh, I love it. This is good stuff.
Wow. Yeah. So that's going to be starting coming soon to a small community near you here at Whole Life. And I know we had one more question, right?
Yes.
Let's not forget that.
Last one. Since Jesus said we can do greater things, what is the very first daily step that positions our hearts and lives to actually start doing them?
For me, and I do want to put that caveat, for me, it's waking up, rolling out of bed onto my knees and telling God, use me.
Yeah.
I want to be used. I want, help me get out of your way and help me to do what you need me to do. And it's not a long, complicated prayer. It doesn't, you know,
yeah,
But to me, it's just, it's a, the first thing I do, remind myself of that. And then through the rest of the day, reminding myself that this is God's life that I'm living. And that, and so that's for me, that's a big, the first thing to do is just wake up and give God permission. And it's amazing to me how many people, and again, I love planning. I love planning, and yet I also am amazed how many times when I give God permission to be in charge of my plans, how he brings things into my life that I don't think I would have been able to bring in myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the posture of openness, being ready and willing for whatever happens, whatever comes. And sometimes greater things are an accumulation of smaller things. So
I like that. I think it also, for me, it starts with gratitude, just being grateful for what I have, not what I don't have, and thinking about that or dwelling on that, but finding the positives that, you know, every day you wake up and go, oh, I've got air conditioning today. Cool.
Literally.
Literally, right? Like, cool. Oh, I see what you did there. I got that. Thank you, Melanie. In my car, in my house, at work, right? Like, life could be a lot worse. But just being grateful for the things, too, that you see that God does, that we say thank you when someone does something nice for us. But sometimes when God does something nice, you're immediately like, oh, man, that's awesome. But it's not. But did you stop and say, God, thank you, man, that was great. I don't know how this all came together, but I'm trusting that it was you that made it what it was. And it feels good to say thank you when you have something like that. And I just feel like sometimes we forget, like, all good things come from God. So maybe a true thank you instead of the thank you at mealtime or whatever. There was one other question or comment.
Wait, maybe Lucas didn't answer that one.
Oh. No, I was just going to say, I think it's also, you know, pay attention to your surroundings, because sometimes God is talking and we are not listening. Or
doggone it. That means I gotta listen more. Is that what you're telling me?
No, that's it.
It's okay. You can say it. Someone from the chat asked if the math worked for if the conference didn't make us a church and they give a different date. Do you remember? Do you have that question?
1922.
Yeah, they.
Because in it was actually 1922, the hospital. If you go to our website, wholelife.church/100, this will kind of run it back for you. This is a history in a timeline format that probably needs a little more attention. Maybe there's more details, but this is kind of a higher, you know, kind of a 30,000 view. I think moving forward, we're going to change that a little bit and start putting more things in that you can watch and kind of see the growth that's going to happen, especially over the next 10 years. Seems to make sense.
Yeah.
But if you go to wholelife.church/100, 1922, hospital employees begin worship services. And this is a group of hospital employees begin Saturday afternoon services. And they did this on the day porch of the hospital. Mm-hmm. But then in 1926, the hospital services moved to the Winya. I think it's Winya. Chapel. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. But on September 24th, the Florida Conference of Seventh-day Adventists organized the hospital services that had been meeting on the front porch into a church meeting in the Winya or Winya Chapel. So that's where the 1926 to the 2000.
So was the question they were asking about that?
I think they had a different date of when we became, or a different understanding of when that was. So I just wanted to clear that up, that it was 1926.
So what we're celebrating is when we officially became an official Seventh-day Adventist Church. Seventh-day Adventist denomination has a process that groups have to go through to receive an official designation as a church. So you start off. Often is what's called a branch Sabbath school. From there, you move to what would be called a company of people. And then from there, you would move to being church status. And each one of those mile markers has different things that you have to accomplish in order to move on to the next designation.
I think it was. And if you go to that webpage, you can actually the starting is in 1885 was when they say the first Seventh-day Adventists were in Central Florida.
14 Seventh-day Adventists began meeting in a private home in,
And I don't remember the other date because I don't have it in front of me. But there was it maybe 81 when the Sanitarium Church was renamed to the Seventh-day Adventist Church at Florida Hospital. So maybe that was it in the question. I just remember seeing it in the chat, and I should have printed it off, but that's the reason why it's the 100-year,
yep,
starting from 1926. You can go check out the website. There's some new stuff. Actually, also, it's the Amplify 2036 is at the top of that page. That's upcoming for this upcoming event, and there's a link there that'll take you. Or you can go to wholelife.church/Amplify2036. That will give you the different pieces and parts of the, like Ken mentioned, our mission and our vision and values and all that stuff, and it's all there for you to take a peek. And actually, the presentation that we made to the church is on that page as well, so you can check that out if you are so interested to kind of find out the process that we went through. We did about an hour long, but it was pretty interesting. It felt like it went pretty fast. So I think you'll find that interesting as well, if that is what, if you have interest in that. 54 minutes. I guess we're about done.
Maybe if you trim it, you can get it to 50 minutes.
Maybe.
Which is like,
what are we going to cut out though?
Maybe all these pauses.
Just speed us all up so we talk a little bit faster. Like,
just slightly. 1.25.
500, the Micro Machines episode. 2.5 times regular speed for your enjoyment. How about that? And you're going to have to do the, you'll have to click on the.
It would be the chipmunk version, wouldn't it?
Probably 2.5 times. That's getting.
That's pretty fast.
I usually edit at about 1.8. But then I have to slow down when I have to make edits to make sure that they sound correct. And you don't know where I'm making edits. But anyway.
So back to our point, you can cut it down to 50.
I probably could. Okay. So next week, swipe up in today's show notes. Make sure you catch Ken's message if you missed it this week, because it's going to be a little important as we move into the rest of the series. Get the baseline set, and then you'll be able to keep up with what's happening in the next couple. And after Greater Things, how many weeks are we for total?
Four weeks of Greater Things.
And what's after that?
Then we have our Black History Month celebration right after that. And we have a really amazing concert that evening.
Yeah. For what?
Can we talk about that, or is that – out in the open, or?
I don't think we've announced it yet.
What's that?
Our Black History Month concert.
Is that the first week?
Like, that's the first weekend of February Saturday night.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
I think it's February 7th. I have to look at a calendar and make sure. But yes, it's going to be very cool. I think we should hold out on that just a little bit longer, okay. But I will tell you, it is going to be fantastic.
Well, it's always fantastic. Is there something new that we didn't?
Yeah, we're doing something new this year.
Oh, but you're not going to tell us.
Not
that's
yet.
That's typical Melanie style. See, Melanie cannot have her own podcast because she'd never tell you anything.
It would be 30 minutes.
Ken and Randy, on the other hand, will tell you about their spleen operation. So,
if whatever. You really want to know,
yeah, I mean
I'm down.
And I figure everybody wants to know.
Why wouldn't they?
I mean,
and Melanie will release no data before it's time.
Just bits and pieces of data. I like the unfolding of the mystery.
Yeah. No, and you're good at it, so I'm not saying that it's bad, because you know, we just know that if Melanie holds the secrets, you're not getting the secrets. That's just all there is to it. You sucker. Forget it. You ain't getting it. She's out. You're done. But yeah.
So did I hear you asking about what the series after this one's going to be? So we talked about Black History Month. And then after that, we're going to do a series called The Greatest of These.
Mm. And, greater things aren't yet.
We're talking about four different kinds of love that are found in the New Testament.
Ooh.
So we're going to talk about Eros, Phileo, Storge, and Agape.
Storge. I never remember that one.
So we'll be talking about that. And then later on, we'll have a series called Game Changers, where we're talking about different people in the Bible who changed everything. And then I think we have the...
That gets us all the way into summer, right?
No, we have the Don't Forget series, where we talk about things that you shouldn't forget. So like one of them is Don't Forget Where You Came From. So don't forget the people who made you. So anyway, we got that. And then we have the summer series that we definitely want to – I have one so far, and I have, I think, 11 or 10 more to fill. So feel free to let me know. But this is, we're calling it our favorite things.
And Ken's spleen surgery.
Yes.
Episode number two.
So Melanie won't even tell you what's happening the first weekend of February. And Ken's already told you what's happening all the way through summer.
Well, I can tell you the rest of it. I can jump into 2027 if you'd like.
This is why we have the staff we have. We all balance each other out.
Yeah, no, this is good. This is good.
I can. Do you want to know the first series for next year's for 2027?
Give it to me.
That would be giving away the the theme.
Yeah. So. No, we can't do that. We can't do that.
But it's a good one, so. I know, it's hard. I really want to tell you.
Man. All right. So to wrap it up.
Maybe that's the next step.
So we keep Ken.
Randy, push the button really quick before
that's
Ken
right. So we keep Ken from delivering all the secrets for the next 3 years and the 10-year plan. No.
Lucas is right. We'll wait for the next step.
That's it.
Ken will tell you what he's preaching the first weekend of 2031.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to.
Would you? I have it right here. Hold on just a second. Stupid Google Docs. Faster. Come on. I did want to do one more thing. Someone asked me. They said you said there was a surprise that was coming for episode 500, and obviously it's not here, and it wasn't location or anything like that. For those of you that have been asking, and because as we keep going further and further with the direction we've been going in the communication department, YouTube is like our biggest ally right now for our messages every week, live services, for shorts, for all different kinds of things. So we're shifting our focus more that way. And coming up, starting in February, you will start getting a video version of the podcast. So know that it's going to be an unedited as it was kind of thing. We're not going to spend a ton of extra time on it. And starting off, we might, you know, we haven't totally figured out the camera thing yet, but we're going to do it. And so you will have a live version of that, but that is going to be, you're gonna have to wait for that. So it's not going to be this immediate, like,
so hang on a second. We're having a videoed. We're going to have to actually dress up for this thing.
Well, I mean, you do what you like. I mean, if you're going to wear your Van Halen t-shirt like normal, that's fine with me.
Gonna have to have a special podcast bathrobe.
Well, you're perfect.
I have my podcast sweatshirt on right now.
For everybody.
I can't find mine right now. It's in, someone took, I don't know how, my whole life jacket was sitting in the office with broken sunglasses in the pocket. Today I found that. So somewhere in my house, when the laundry room gets done, I'm sure I'll find it. Because that's just been an ongoing mess. But yeah, we're going to do a video version of it. But you're not going to get it on Wednesday. You're going to get it on a Friday night. So Friday night, probably about 6 o'clock.
Whoa.
It'll be the outgoing. So you will be able to watch the podcast on Friday evenings.
So hang on. So I'm so confused. So will they be able to listen to it on Wednesday?
Everything normal audio wise. Well, nothing's going to change other than what you will notice when you listen to the podcast this week, but I'm not going to give that up. Well, if for you that are listening, you already know. For those that are sitting here, they don't know because they haven't listened to an episode yet, F500 or later.
True.
So something coming up new on the podcast that will not change every Wednesday morning. That'll stay the same. Speaking of grace, every Saturday afternoon before we leave, we try to get that one out. That's 99% of the weeks that happens. But Friday night, you will have a video version on YouTube to enjoy. If you didn't catch the audio, or like Bernie, here's talking to you. I know you hate listening. You'd rather watch. So now you're going to get to watch. You just have to wait.
Kind of have to practice my facial expressions.
We'll see if Bernie likes to, listen or watch after he's seen what we're about to do.
Maybe not. You know, this could be one of those.
No, let's just go back to that without the video cameras. I think that was
this will be VOD fading.
There's a reason
why. Fading. We only did 4 episodes and it was a crash and burn, so we VOD faded.
I was doing animation. We create some animations of ourselves.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Ooh, the animated versions. That'd be fun. Yeah. Well, I leave that up
and
to you.
And they're going
to
get that next week, not a Friday night.
I still don't know how I feel about this. Now everybody's going to see the angry looks Melanie gives me when I throw things her way. And
yeah, but this week you could have seen Rudy and we wouldn't have to take pictures of everything and post it in Slack, even though we still will. Because for those of you that listen, that'll be your key. But if you want to see it live, you can always go and watch it afterwards. There you go. So that's what the secret was, and I forgot I was going to tell you that at the last week's episode. I forgot. So there you go. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Thanks for listening to This Is Whole Life. If today's conversation resonated with you, we invite you to subscribe, share, or leave a review. To join the conversation, send a text or voicemail to 407-965-1607 or email podcast@wholelife.church. To learn more about Whole Life Church or to join us online or in person, visit wholelife.church. Until next time, this is Whole Life.